If you're innovating, creating, or making a difference,
this show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
We teach a class in Nigeria twice a month, and they're elementary students. Virtual reality, AI, Web 3, 4, 5, or IoT, which is the Internet of Things, are all blending together now, so you have to have those understandings of how they can work together. Taking those key elements and telling the kids, hey, it's okay to use your imagination. It's okay to be creative. It's okay to think out of the box.
Education does not have to mean sitting still and listening to a lecture. Professor William Jackson incorporates fun, hands-on, and collaboration as he prepares students for the job market of the future. William is the Education Program Director of the World Metaverse Council, a platform at the forefront of creating an equitable and inclusive metaverse. He's also a certified VR educator, as well as a STEAM plus M educator. Now, if that term STEAM plus M is new to you, as it was to me, that's actually science, technology, engineering, art, math, and the metaverse. In 2023, William and his wife, who is artist and educator Aida Correa Jackson, received the World Metaverse Council's Education of the Year Award. In tandem with Aida, William teaches both virtual and in-person classes. Their virtual classes through the metaverse have enabled them to teach students in Africa, South America, and Taiwan, curricula that have included AR, VR, AI, and WordPress. Did I mention that William is also the CEO of MyQuest to Teach and Metaverse WP? Locally, William and Aida recently conducted a two-day sports and tech camp in Jacksonville, Florida, blending baseball concepts with STEAM education.
William, what first sparked your creative imagination, teaching or technology?
It was a blending of both. I'm a teacher of 33 years. I retired a year and a half ago. I'm just trying to figure out during my instructional process how to blend my teaching style, which is really hands-on and project-based, with blending together technology. And that's been one of my goals, you know, most of my teaching career. I started out as a health and physical education teacher here in Florida in Putnam County. And even during that time, I always tried to figure out how can I inspire the kids or how can I use tech to enhance what I was doing. And I did it on a basic fundamental process of creating certificates for accomplishments during PE classes or after particular events. So basically starting out at that level, then working from there, using tech to chart progress, using cameras to take pictures and sharing them on social media. So figuring out a blending of how to integrate technology into the teaching.
What's one of your absolute favorite stories about inspiring the kids with technology?
One of my favorite stories, when I transitioned from teaching physical education to actually a technology lab, was talking to my wife. We were dating at the time, and she's an artist, how I could really blend the technology together. And I would say I don't have an artistic bone in my body. So she was giving me advice about how to take elements of the arts and blending it with tech and different projects that the kids could do, how to work out certain research and development projects. So understanding that the arts are key and important in education itself, and also with the blending of technology, because unfortunately, public education does not, I should say, readily accept inspiring the kids on a level of digital innovation, creativity, the value of the arts, even though we hear about it a lot, but also taking those key elements and telling the kids, hey, it's okay to use your imagination. It's okay to be creative. It's okay to think out of the box, because that's what enhances their learning and how they apply it.
I feel like it should be required to be creative, actually, and to do learning outside of the box.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it should be. But, you know, because of how curriculums are designed and constructed, not necessarily by the guidance of teachers, but by the legislature or political guidelines, that too often is overlooked that, oh, okay, we can inspire creativity and innovation in students by increasing more project-based learning, by increasing more critical thinking, by increasing, you know, actually letting the students know it's okay to be imaginative. My wife always shares a statement by Einstein that imagination is more important than anything else that you can do in education, because it opens up the mind to some phenomenal things that kids can imagine and think and create and design.
I love that quote. How did the metaverse and VR first come on your radar? What was your first experience with it?
Well, starting out as a STEAM teacher, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, we were on a platform called Clubhouse. And Clubhouse, basically, you used your phone to access rooms. And in the rooms, you could, you know, be involved in anything imaginable that you could learn. And there was this conversation about the metaverse, and we had never heard about it. But actually going through the process of listening and understanding the process of, we can describe it as the metaverse is like the internet on steroids. And everything is immersive, it's actively involved. So we found out about, I would say, like 3 years ago, and saw the rapid growth of it and how it would change just the one to two dimensional learning environment to a three, four, and sometimes five dimensional learning platform that the kids could get involved in and learn from and use to apply. And interesting enough, a lot of people really don't equate it to an environment, but as we found out, students that were using Roblox and Minecraft, that is an element of the metaverse, because you're in an immersive environment, you're creating. And even further back, using programs called The Sims, where you're building worlds and building cities, you know, that's an early rendition of the metaverse, because you're actively engaged and you're involved. It's to the point now where you're creating an avatar of yourself. So it opens up so many avenues of accessibility, imagining what you want yourself to look like in these immersive environments, which takes it to a whole new level.
You'd heard about it. You got intrigued. What were the steps to where you are right now?
Well, basically learning as much as we can and participating in different conferences that were virtual. We call ourselves global learners because there are conferences that we participate virtually on the continent of Africa, across Europe, here in the United States. So the organizations and groups that we participate are, one of them is WordPress. So WordPress manages 45 to 50% of the websites globally. Within that, that is composed of web development and programming and coding. But there's an element that deals with AI and metaverse and immersive environment. So taking the idea, if you just have a regular website, but now you have to blend it with an immersive environment, which we do. We create environments that blend conferences and meetings together with the metaverse to show that you can go into these environments and explore, collaborate, cooperate, and work with other people. And just seeing the expanse of how this technology is growing so rapidly and so fast, it's really phenomenal. And just trying to learn as much as possible from people that have been in it longer than we have, but taking the time to listen and be involved as much as we can with what we're doing.
If I were looking over your shoulder as you create environments, you're creating the environment through WordPress. Is that how that's working?
Well, we're using a platform called spatial.io, and they provide you templates. So you find the type of template that you like. You go in and you can upload your pictures. You can upload your graphics. They're what's called portals. Portals are like balls, and they move a little bit. And when you create your portal, you can have it linked to a website. That's where the linking to WordPress websites and other content. So you can link it to a website. You could link it to a YouTube channel. You could link it to social media. And it opens up the opportunity where it's unlimited what you can link your spatial gallery to. So let's say, for example, we make spatial galleries for our WordCamp conferences. So we take all the content and information from their website, and we build out like a gallery or a museum, and then you create your avatar using Ready Player Me or what's available in Spatial, because they give you that option, and you can walk around and you can talk to people, you can chat with people. And as you're exploring, you have the chance to sit down in the environment, There's emotions or actions like dancing that you can do. So you integrate all of that into the environment where you're looking at the user experience and you want them to be excited about coming into the space and into the site. But then the content and the information is so immersive. It's not like you're reading a website. You're actually involved in the content.
Virtual reality feels like you're having a dream you can interact with.
Right. You know, this is the future now. A couple of years ago, we saw the influence that this was having. So we are now certified VR educators with Engage and Victory XR, which are companies that are educational and business as well. So we said one of the most important things is to be certified so that people understand and see that there is value in this type of information and content. So not only are we bloggers and writers, but we're certified VR educators, we're certified STEAM educators. And we show that all of these elements can be blended because ultimately, whether you're in the classroom or whether you're in the business environment or even commerce, virtual reality, AI, Web 3, 4, 5, or IoT, which is the Internet of Things, are all blending together now. So you have to have those understandings of how they can work together. And particularly young people and young adults that are looking for careers, everything is going to be based on their level of understanding technology in a way that they can be engaged in it.
What if someone listening would like to get involved and doesn't quite know where to start? Are there classes that you're teaching right now that people can access and where?
Oh, yes. Actually, we are teaching across Europe and Africa, as I stated earlier. Our social media for us is really easy to access. My brand is My Quest to Teach, and my wife's brand is Love Built Life. So as I said, she's the artist. She has an NFT gallery called She, S-H-E, that is in Spatial. And when people go into the environment, they actually see the artwork that she's created. And it's an NFT. So we're talking about non-fungible tokens, but they're also connected to the blockchain. So when you blend all of that, then you see the business and entrepreneurial aspect of it. So like I said, my brand is My Quest to Teach, and my wife's brand is Love Built Life.
My Quest to Teach and Love Built Life.
Yes.
What are some of the ways that you're seeing the metaverse provide for young people that, let's say, either can't afford college or they're just not going to go on to higher education? What are some?
Oh, yes. It opens up a lot of learning opportunities. You know, the last couple of years, those that are graduating high school or technical school are figuring out, you know, higher education is not their first choice. They may want to enhance their talents with tech as either graphic designers or coders. There's a lot of coding programs out there, programmers in those aspects of where they are learning technology skills, but they're able to apply it as small business owners or entrepreneurs. So the idea, of course, of education is its traditional educational model now is really not conducive to getting kids involved in technology, but it's more conducive as the traditional model. Okay, you graduate high school, where do you go? You either go to military, you go to college. And unfortunately, there aren't too many vocational schools that are out there, but there are some that are available that will teach you these concepts and ideas. Community college is now embracing a lot of technology areas where they're providing certificates. So you can get a certificate learning Python or CSS and web development or some type of programming, and also cybersecurity and blockchain technology are able to earn certificates as well to start out in those career areas.
In some ways, we have a more exciting world than we've ever had before.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And it's always fascinating when Aida and I were teaching a class, you know, we teach a class in Nigeria twice a month, and they're elementary students. So we're virtual, they're virtual. We're providing instruction on cultural aspects of where they are in Nigeria. Unfortunately, a lot of students there don't know that of the 54 nations in Africa, 25 to 26 actually have space programs, and they're launching satellites into space, or the idea of agriculture is blended together with technology, where charting droughts, charting disease, charting insects, to where farmers that have their own farms are charting how to grow their crops better. Hydroponics, you know, not planting plants into the ground, but using water and nutritious solutions to grow plants that are healthier and more abundant. So applying those different type of technologies. And since we're in Florida, Kennedy Space Center is about 2 hours from us. So last week they launched another spaceship, SpaceX, to International Space Station. But, you know, you can actually go outside and watch the SpaceX Dragon rocket go over Florida to catch up with the International Space Station. So all of those aspects, okay, you can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your laptop, you can watch it on your tablet. But actually using that tech to see the astronauts, not looking at switches and dials and buttons, but actually everything is a touchscreen and they have tablets. So this technology is available and open as well. And kids, maybe they may not want to be an astronaut, but the engineering aspect of it, the artistic aspect of it, and the mathematical aspect of it is important for them to see, okay, well, I may not want to be an astronaut, but I do want to be an engineer. I may not want to be an engineer, but they have artistic fashion skills to where they can create future spacesuits, which they need. Or, okay, we know they're going to go to the moon in a few years and maybe 5 or 6 or 10 years go to Mars. They're going to need people that have that architectural mindset to design and build the environments and the cities and buildings for those environments. So it opens up to a lot that's available.
I love that you pointed out the artistic aspect, because it used to be science was over here, arts were over there.
Right.
That has radically changed, and I'm so grateful to see this. What about lifelong learners? If somebody's listening and they say, I would love to know more about this, but where do I start? Computer science is a little scary for me.
I say, start out doing research. You Google it. Google a career that they have in mind and do their research. Look at what their requirements are for those particular skill sets. Also, YouTube University. Go to YouTube and do some research on their particular idea of a career or their particular idea of a business or their particular idea of being an entrepreneur, and do some research on their own to see where what is available can fit their idea of where they want to go. And if it's not there, create it themselves. Some of the most phenomenal technologies or use of technologies are solving a problem, providing a resource, providing a service. So where there isn't a service for something, someone may come up with an idea. Okay, well, I'm a wonderful artist. I have skills and talents. Well, where can I fit into this level of technology and create an environment in spatial? Or if they're into fashion, create a design for clothing that can be worn in space. Understanding that health related, if someone wants to be a doctor, now is the time to figure out, okay, I would like to be a doctor, but I would also like to be a doctor for the astronauts. So there is specific areas for that. Or I would love to be a brain surgeon or a heart surgeon, but how could this relate to technology and space? And as we have it now, there are doctors that are in Florida or California, and they're remotely using robots to perform surgeries, intricate surgeries, even today. And, you know, those areas, if you can believe it, you can achieve it. If you can imagine it, it's probably something ongoing right now that would facilitate someone creating that type of position. So that research element is important. And just to touch on the research, AI is a very effective tool for that. But as my wife and I, when we're teaching people to understand that it's a generative AI where you have to ask the right questions. So you have to learn how to ask questions. And if you don't see the answer that you want, to change the format of the question and ask it another way. Because AI is learning from those that are using it, but you have to have a mindset of, again, being creative and asking questions, being determined to look at the information you're presented and how do you take it and use it and modify it to benefit what you ultimately want to achieve.
What's one experience you had in learning to use AI?
Oh my gosh, you know, we are continuously learning all the time. And it's never a day, literally, where we don't learn something new. And being a lifelong learner, as you said, it's imperative and important for you know, people to understand that no longer are we in a society where you're going to learn one thing, and that's going to be the one thing or two things you're going to use your whole career. It's a rarity now. And you hear about it every once in a while that, you know, teachers are in the profession 33, 43, maybe 50 years because they're passionate about what they're doing. The last 15 to 20 years for careers, youth today and teens will probably change careers 6 times during their lifetime, if not more, because they're constantly learning and growing and developing. And the access to resources and information is so wide now that, you know, you can learn just about anything. So when you have that passion, when you have that drive to want to learn, it's really exciting and really beneficial because you can start off at an entry level career and then end up in 5 or 6 years having your own business in some area of technology. Or someone may see a company that you built and that you designed over the course of 6 to 10 years. And, you know, just for an example, an Amazon or a Google or Apple may see your accomplishments and say, hey, we want to buy your company for several million dollars. And you may say, well, I don't want to give up my company, but they'll be like, well, you can still manage it. You can still run it. But we want you under our wing for research and development. So, you know, those aspects are always out there.
That would be an exciting career trajectory.
Yeah.
How did you and your wife first get involved teaching in Africa through the metaverse?
Well, we partnered through a group called Real Dads Network. And the Real Dads Network is based in New York City. So they have a component with Africa where they had a partnership with Clever Minds Foundation Academy already. And they were looking for instructors to teach in that program that they were developing. And it just so happened on the app Clubhouse, we were in a room with several hundred people talking about technology and integrating tech with education. And we were one of the speakers and they heard us talk about how no longer can you have traditional educational classes where the teacher is lecturer or the professor is a lecturer and they're just standing in front of the class. Because with this day and age, kids, they will zone you out in about 10 minutes if that's all you're doing. So you have to be engaged. You have to be involved. So they reached out to us back in 2022, I believe, and they asked us, would we be interested in teaching this class that they were developing? They didn't have a curriculum. And we said, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity, you know, to teach on an international level. So we've been fortunate enough to teach there in Nigeria. We're teaching a class in Uganda. We're also teaching a class in Nigeria with ZTech University in Nairobi. And we're in the process of collaborating with some other nations. Because the idea, interesting enough, in different parts of the world for education are different in the United States. Because we have so much stuff that's available, we are used to it. And sometimes we take it, well, I don't say sometimes, a lot of times we take it for granted what we have. In their case, in other countries, they have limited access or it's very difficult to connect those technologies because the infrastructures of wireless technology are available, but they're not as robust as they are in the United States. So they value everything that they can connect to, the people that they can connect to, the resources that they can have access to. And, you know, here in the United States, we are more prone to think about the monetary aspects of, I can take this piece of technology, create a business, and make money. And unfortunately, the commercialization of tech is so pronounced in our society that, you know, young adults and teens are always thinking money, money, this money, you know, I could. But in, you know, countries in Africa, they are just like the United States. They have cities, they have universities. But the idea is, how can I build up myself as a professional? But also, how can I help my family and my community and build them up as well? Because they understand the value of what the instructors and teachers bring to them as students and the communities that they build and connect with. So the concepts are really different in Africa and across Europe as opposed to the United States. So you have to, you know, balance those. Okay, I'm going to teach you technology, but you also have to have that conversation. What do you want to do with the technology when you learn how to apply it to how you want to grow and develop as opposed to I'm teaching you technology and we're not teaching gaming. We're teaching to empower you and inspire you.
What was one of your favorite experiences teaching some of those first classes where you taught technology and your students would use it for the good of themselves, their families, and their communities?
Oh, wow. The projects that they're doing, when we're completing a lesson, so we do it like once a week, we'll give them a project to do. They'll come back a week later and using whatever resources they have. One project was they created a map of Africa. Now, granted, all of them have never traveled outside of their community. They do have access, and this is the group in Nigeria, Clever Minds. They do have access to laptops, which was provided to them. But teaching them how to access information, how to Google information, they designed some of the most wonderful maps of not just their country, Nigeria, but the continent itself. And then they gained an understanding that Africa is bigger, is the second largest continent on the planet Earth. And just seeing their excitement and their joy in sharing their drawings that they live on a continent as large as Africa is, where you could put the United States in Africa, you could put other countries in Africa and still have room. And just seeing their eyes light up that they actually have embraced or see that how powerful that information is. And then they talk about, well, it takes several hours to fly from Nigeria to Kenya or Nigeria to Egypt or Nigeria to South Africa. And knowing that there's a broader community around them, that was really exciting. It really was.
Wow. I was struck by looking at one of the blogs that you linked to me. I didn't know that students had to pay for secondary education from 9th to 12th grade in Uganda. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we take things for granted here. And Aida and I, we have these conversations about, well, when we're blessed to be in a position to teach, we have to be mindful that there's an economic aspect to this as well. Because, you know, here in the States, from pre-K to graduating high school is free for the most part. In public education. In their case, elementary education or primary education is free, but when they get out of sixth grade, going into secondary, they have to pay for their education. And if they can't afford to, or their parents can't, then they have to find ways to go to school. Either somebody sponsor them, or scholarships, or grants, or some way to go into schools. And that explains in a lot of cases when you have students from Africa and some parts of Europe come to the United States to go to university or college, why they are much older, because it takes longer for them to gain their academic credentials from secondary school because their process is longer for education than ours. So they may sit out a year to make money to go back to school. And they may sit out 2 years to make money to go back to school. But their ultimate goal is to graduate secondary school. So they have those options to, okay, I want to go to university or I want to go to trade school or I want to be a business owner, an entrepreneur. So it opens up that vision that, oh my gosh, you know, they're 25 years old and they're in university or they're 30 because that whole process of trying to gain an education. And you see it brings more value to them because they work harder to obtain it.
That truly is, as you've said, how much do we take for granted over here? That's incredible. Right. How can people best support you with My Quest to Teach, your wife with her small business? What do you need?
Well, one of the things is following us on social media. And we like to share that when we come across conferences or events or activities that we value and that we support, that we try to get the community to support them as well. A lot of times when we're sponsoring or when we are provided scholarship, it's through our business, but a lot of that is out of pocket. And a lot of cases, they are nonprofit organizations. So, you know, businesses are always looking to be a blessing to companies and things that are going on. But having that opportunity to work with a nonprofit or an NGO to support the community provides a really good outlet. And then, you know, with nonprofits, those are tax deductible. So those help out a great deal. So just following us on social media. We are on LinkedIn. If you do a search for Aida Correa Jackson or William Jackson, and connect with us and seeing what we're doing or following us on social media. We're all on both social medias, like I said, with our brands, but then contributing and offering to help, resources, guidance, and even, you know, participating in some capacity as well.
Final question is the signature question for my podcast. If people could only get one thing from you about innovation, creativity, and making a difference, what would you like them to take away from the work you're doing?
The world is a phenomenal place and it's open up to all types of imagination, exploration, and discovery. Never limit yourself to anything, just visually what you see. You know, use your imagination, use your dreams, use your insights, use the talents and skills, abilities that God has blessed you with to help others and continue to grow. Aid and I, we always share our faith as Christians, not just as a religious aspect, but that, you know, we share what we do in love, we share what we do in faith, because we want to see people grow. We want to see people explore the world because there are tremendous opportunities in the oceans, in the atmosphere, and in space. And we just need to help each other and be a blessing to each other so everybody grows and everybody is successful.
William, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate meeting you.
You and I have been listening to World Metaverse Council Education Program Director, Professor William Jackson. William is both the CEO of Metaverse WP and of My Quest to Teach. You can find out more about his classes and STEAM camps, which he teaches in collaboration with his wife, Aida Correa Jackson, by following him on Instagram and Twitter. Once again, his handle is My Quest to Teach. His website, myquesttoteach.com, is one you can check out as well. And as William mentioned, you can also find out more about Aida's work as an artist and an educator by following her at Love Built Life on Instagram and Twitter, or on her website, lovebuiltlife.com. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. Listen to more Over Coffee podcasts at twomavericks.com. That's two, T-W-O, Mavericks, M-A-V-E-R-I-X. Be sure you subscribe. It's free by clicking the link on our website. Our music is royalty-free production music provided by Pond5 at pond5.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.